to the Internet Monthly podcast, a podcast featuring 20 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. In this month's issue, you can find out about foreign language website tips for companies ready to expand with more overseas exports, learning a new language by making new friends here in the UK, getting tasty marketing tips from some of Britain's most successful kitchen table startup companies, finding an unregistered one-word domain name for almost any new website, and the first look at a camera not much bigger than a postage stamp. Sites for export. eConsultancy.com has some tips for you if you're planning to take advantage of the lower value UK pound to increase your company's exports and are considering branching out with a set of multi-language websites. If you are, the first choice to be made is between providing a multilingual site, one site for a global audience with each page available in multiple languages, and providing individual country sites that present content in the local language for that audience alone. For more information, see eConsultancy.com/blog. Lingo Match. Every large city has thousands of people fluent in languages from all over the world. London-based contact site Lingo Match brings them together when they want to learn a new language. Users indicate which language they are fluent in and which language they want to learn. If they find a match, they can contact the person, chat with them online, or meet them in person. You can find people speaking most mainstream languages using the on-site search tool. If that fails, there's the option to post a free ad so that others who are a good match can contact you. You can also customise searches by changing your default city and country to find people in other areas. Check out lingomatch.com. The Food Programme. After several reports from across Europe, the BBC's Sheila Dillon has been looking around the Food and Drink Expo at Birmingham's NEC. With more than 600 suppliers exhibiting, there was a chance to get an idea of where the food industry's most innovative and independent companies are heading and how a small business can move from kitchen table startup to nationwide success. In her Radio 4 audio record from the NEC, there are lessons for new entrepreneurs in every kind of business, as Sheila explores. Amongst other things, the way food producers are using online marketing and new media to communicate with customers. To tweet or not to tweet? That is the question. Read more at bbc.co.uk/programmes. Escapist marketing. You may not be demonstrating how to escape from underwater shackles on your blog. I'd visit if you were. But that doesn't mean that you can't learn a thing or two about online marketing success from Houdini. Check out copyblogger.com/Houdini-blogging. Preposterously easy blogging. The internet is home to countless blogs with an endless supply of diary notes, social commentary and news, sensible and silly ideas, and much more, contributed by people of all ages in all walks of life. Blogging is easy. If it was difficult, the blogosphere wouldn't be half as busy as it is. But for anyone still in a quandary over how to get started, there is a new online solution that makes blogging as easy as sending an email. It's Posterous.com. Just send what you want to appear in your blog to the Posterous email address, and the site will automatically set up your own custom blog page, complete with URL. Send text, photos, videos, and MP3s, and this helpful tool will arrange them all in your blog without the need for any previous experience or technical know-how. Check out Posterous.com. Cardboard record player. A cardboard record player created as a mail shot promotional item has been a runaway viral success for sound design company GGRP. Recipients are writing to their Vancouver offices for multiple extra copies, and an accompanying video is climbing the charts at YouTube. The 6-inch record in a corrugated mailing sleeve folds into a makeshift human-powered player, which, when turned using a pencil, transmits sound through the needle and amplifiers via the cardboard corrugations. For more details, see ggrp.com. Socializing staff. 10% of internet bandwidth is spent on YouTube, and almost 7% of URLs accessed from business premises are down to employees using Facebook, according to a new report from NetworkBox. The figures show that IT managers are right to be concerned about the amount of social network use at work, Simon Heron, internet security analyst for NetworkBox, tells SC Magazine UK. Read more at scmagazineuk.com. Staff watch. Company bosses who believe they face the risk of employees posting unsuitable content or offensive comments on social media sites, potentially damaging the company's image, are showing interest in a new syndicated online service named Social Sentry, created by a company called Teneros. Social Sentry allows companies to track social media interaction by employees in the workplace and elsewhere. Teneros says that Social Sentry can monitor employee public communication happening from any location within the corporate network or public internet. The service covers Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and other sites, monitoring employee social network activity from any kind of device, including mobile. It provides automated notification of social network activity that might transgress company rules and a variety of analytic and reporting functions for managing and interpreting the data received. For more information, see teneros.com/socialsentry. Website names. If you're looking for an unregistered one-word domain name based on a real word, one that appears in the dictionary, you will find this site useful. Still available names listed are .com and .net, but the .co.uk version is likely to be free too. Check out lastwordsleft.com. Sitemaps Illustrated. It's a good idea to include a sitemap page on your website that visitors can use as a guide of last resort when content eludes them. Basic sitemaps are simply a list of URLs covering every unique page on a website, and if they are linked from the home page, they provide a useful guide for visiting search engines as well as ordinary users. Webmasters can also create a separate XML version for direct submission to the major search engines. In a new development, Google has begun encouraging webmasters to include images in these sitemaps, saying that images are an important element of many sites and that search engines could benefit from knowing about any that are particularly relevant, adding, for each URL you list in your sitemap, you can add additional information about important images that exist on that page. You don't need to create a new sitemap. You can add information to the sitemap that you already use. For more details, see googlewebmastercentral.blogspot.com. Free OCR. There are many tools that use optical character recognition technology to parse text from scanned documents, faxes, and other images. Most online services require you to upload the files to their server, and they support limited formats. Free OCR supports around 20 different image formats and lets you send files by email. The supported image formats include BMP, GIF, PDF, XPS, TIFF, PNG, and JPEG, JPG. Once you send your image to org@freeocr.net, your image will be converted into text and provided to you via PDF as well as in DOCX and DOC formats. Free OCR also supports multi-page and multi-column files and works with text in a variety of foreign languages. As the name suggests, the service is completely free. Check out n1ne.net/OCR. Infinite USB plug. For anyone fed up with clunky USB hubs, there might be a far more elegant solution around the corner. Thanks to imaginative design student Jiang Gonglu, we should be seeing the Infinite USB connector, which allows an unlimited number of devices to plug into one USB port with elegant ease. For more details, see engadget.com. Explaining the wires. PC World has published an online guide covering every important type of audio, video, PC, peripheral and networking cable, in a worthy effort to help baffled users identify and understand the sometimes confusing tangle of connectivity that helps us work, rest and play in our homes and offices. Read more at PCWorld.com. Coming next from Apple. Apple's notoriously tight secrecy ahead of product launches seems to have been undermined with a stray prototype of what appears to be the next iPhone falling into eager hands at Gizmodo, the site for gadget enthusiasts. It's been pulled apart, photographed, and examined from every angle by the team at Gizmodo, and everyone involved is convinced it's the real thing. For more information, see gizmodo.com/552-0164. Still smaller camera. The new Chobby Cam from Japan Trust Technologies takes camera miniaturization to extremes, with the ability to shoot photos and videos using a device not much bigger than a postage stamp. It measures a minuscule 1.7 by 1.1 by 0.5 inches and weighs only half an ounce. Data is stored on a micro SD card, which provides an enormous amount of storage capacity for such a diminutive camera. Video files are stored in AVI format at a resolution of 1280 by 960 pixels. For still photos, the Chobby Cam shoots at 2048 by 1536 pixels and uses the standard JPEG file format. It can also be used as a voice recorder, capable of recording up to 50 minutes of audio. All things considered, the price is not very large either, at about £65. For more details, see www.geekstuffforyou.com/chobby-mini-digital-camera.html. App Snap. Plink Art is an app for your mobile phone that lets you identify almost any work of art just by taking a photo of it. Now, the four-month-old startup company behind PlinkArt.com, which is based in Oxford, has been acquired by Google. The team will work on the search engine's Goggles project, helping to build a visual search engine that works not just for paintings or book covers, but for everything you see around you. Check out PlinkArt.com. Sidelined by Google. When Emberry, a startup company in Arizona, was hit multiple times in a short period by hackers, they thought that regaining customer trust would be their biggest challenge after they repaired the damage. What they actually had to deal with as a result of the attacks was getting booted off the world's largest search engine. Read more at fireblog.com/more-3183. Slower sites go lower. Slow-to-load websites could be penalised by Google and moved down its search rankings. Although the search engine already considered more than 200 different variables when ranking sites and often changes its algorithms, it said that taking account of website speed had been added last month after rigorous testing. Justifying the move, Google fellow Amit Singhal explained, "When a site responds slowly, visitors spend less time there. faster sites don't just improve user experience, recent data shows that improving site speed also reduces operating costs. Like us, our users place a lot of value in speed. That's why we've decided to take site speed into account in our search rankings. For more details, see googlewebmastercentral.blogspot.com. More or less? You may think that search engines deliver more than enough choices in the results we're presented with, but the people who design them seem to disagree. We may not always reach a conclusion we're completely happy with when there are already so many blue links that we haven't clicked. And yet the challenge of additional information is set to grow again. Last month, Google announced that the Tweet Archive would become searchable. While Twitter missives formally vanished after a few days, we'll soon have access to all 10 billion of them. It's easy to think of lots of uses for this, not least an improved ability for Twitter marketeers to track metrics. On the other hand, the increase in the number of links that we will never have the time to investigate is unlikely to be welcomed by everyone. Being able to delve into thousands of tweets on a given issue doesn't mean we'll know any more about it than we did before. Malcolm Gladwell, author of The Tipping Point, referring to financial transactions, describes the challenge in trying to comprehend complexity through detail. You can try to make financial transactions understandable by simplifying them, in which case you run the risk of smoothing over some of their potential risks, or you can try to disclose every potential pitfall, in which case you'll make the disclosure so unwieldy that no one will be able to understand it. Read more at latimesblogs.latimes.com/technology. Godzilla Google. Tim Black at Spiked Online, which rails against misanthropy, priggishness, prejudice, luddism, illiberalism, and irrationalism, reports from last month's debate at the Royal Society of Arts, which asked, "Is Google too big?" and found that the biggest problem might be the lack of newcomers to challenge it. For more details, see spiked-online.com. Search Engine of the Month. SWAMI is a continuous search engine to help keep you up to date on your interests. Sign up for its alert service to be notified by email whenever new stuff is found. CEO Calum Fletcher wanted to call the site yoda.com, but found that the domain name had been taken by a cat owner whose pet was called after the Jedi Master. Check out swami.com. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you listen again next month.